same page. You have Parsha. And I thought we would talk about Birchas Kohanim. Okay? Oh, so you know what? I didn't bring my Parsha notes, but I think I can do it off of the source sheet without a problem. Yeah, no, I didn't bring that. Oh, well. Okay. Nonetheless, we'll manage. So it's a fairly straightforward Dvar Torah. What are the Kohanim doing in Birchas Kohanim? I gave you the Psukim in source number one, right, from our Parsha. Hashem says to Moshe, speak to Aaron and his sons, so she will bless the children of Israel, right? Kos Baruch Hu B'nei Yisrael, Amor Lahem, say to them, we understand that there is a chiyuv, there's a mitzvah for the Kohanim to do this. Kohen is not allowed, if he's invited to do Berachas Kohanim, he's not allowed to say, I don't want to. That's why if a Kohen can't do it for some reason, they have to leave before the Kohanim are summoned. May Hashem bless you. But you know the Pesukim. Yivrach Hashem Yishmecha, Yer Hashem Panav Elach V'chuneka, Yisrael Hashem Panav Elach V'esem Lecha Shalom, V'samu Eshmi Al B'nei Yisrael, they shall place my name upon B'nei Yisrael, V'ani Avarachim, and I will give a bracha to them, to Klal Yisrael. So I have two questions regarding this. Hopefully I remember my two questions. So one question that I had is, going with the assumption that the Kohanim are conveying a bracha to Klal Yisrael, right? The Kohanim are the ones who are bringing us a bracha from Hashem. Say it a little bit differently. We invite the Kohanim to come give us this bracha. There's a classic idea that the Kohanim are, in a sense, interceding on our behalf. They're turning to Hashem and asking Hashem, will you please give this bracha to Klal Yisrael? May Hashem give us this bracha. That's a classic way of looking at it. Two problems with that. Number one, the Kohanim are facing us. Right? That's the way it works. The Kohanim go up, stand in front of the Aron, facing the Aron, and then they turn around and they face us. If they're talking to Hashem, why are they facing us? That's problem number one. Problem number two is a philosophical problem. We generally don't believe in intermediaries, right? We get to talk to Hashem directly. There's a piece on this from the Mabitz, which I brought you here in source number two, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Yosef Detrani, which he's defining tefillah in his work, Beis Elokim. And he says, if you look at number two, k'fi ma shekasavnu beperek rishon begeder ha-tefillah, based on what we wrote in my first section regarding what davening is, Nira devar iser lachalos pnei ish liyispalel ba'adachir al Hashem. It would seem to be usur for somebody to ask somebody else to daven on their behalf. Ki kishuhume atzmo mispalel ba'ad chavero o ba'ad hador in koshi baze. He says, it's one thing if you daven on your own for somebody. You know somebody is sick, so you want to daven for them. You want to daven for your generation. There's a famine. Yeah, that's fine. You can daven for that. But to go to somebody and say, please daven on my behalf, it looks like you're putting intermediaries between you and God, which he says is a grave sin. And he quotes you with Gemara Yerushalmi in the last parak of Brachos. Amar Rabbi Yudin, basar v'dam yesh lo patron. A human being, flesh and blood, has a patron, somebody who is their supporter. In baslo tzara, so if something bad happens, eno nichnas etzlo pisom, you don't go to the patron suddenly, ela holich va'omed al pesach chatzero shal patrono, you go stand by the entrance to the yard, v'korel ben beso shal patron, and you call to somebody from the household, v'omer lo ish ploni bachutz, and then he says to the patron, oh, so-and-so is waiting for you outside. Kodesh Baruch Hu eno kein, but not Hashem. In basla chatzara, something happens to you, lo sikra lo lemichal v'lo legavriel. You don't go calling Michal and Gavriel, elet soveach lo b'hu onelach. You call out to God, and God answers you. Ha'u dechsiv, kol ha'she yikra b'shem Hashem, yikra b'shem Hashem, yikra b'shem Hashem, yimaleit, pasuk in Yoel, describing achris hayamim, he says, anyone who calls in the name of Hashem will be rescued. You just talk to God directly. You don't need to summon malachim and whatever else. So the Mabit quotes the Yerushalmi and says you shouldn't have intermediaries. Now, there's an obvious problem with this Mabit.
Well, isn't the whole concept like Bechitza Egel that Klal Yisrael wanted this like intermediary because it was very like that's in vogue? So then after that whole thing, Hashem changed his mind and decided like, okay, I'll give you the Mishkan.
No, except that they had an intermediary. right? Before that. That was Moshe. And Moshe is always their intermediary.
So there is right.
But I guess maybe that's just specific to Korbanos, but yeah, like there is that concept.
How do you explain that? Moshe always intervenes for the nation.
Right. No, the problem is, as Aviva says, like we how do you explain this, the Mabit's problem? We have it throughout Tanakh, where people appeal to the Navi, you know, daven on our behalf.
Right.
And the Mabit asks that question right after this passage, and his answer is to distinguish between malachim and human beings.
Like, do you go to a kever and ask someone?
He says, well, a kever is a whole other can of...
That's a modern story also.
Yeah, can of worms going to the kever. But we can talk about it. Just the, but his answer regarding this is to say malachim are different because malachim present particular hazards. Because a malach is this lofty being with, you know, some celestial identity and no body and no needs of its own, he says it's more likely that people will make a mistake and deify the malach. So therefore, don't go to Michal and Gabriel. A human being who has needs of their own and failings of their own, you're not going to confuse the human being for Hashem. So that's the difference that he makes. I'm just watching your watch, and it's 12 already?
It's not. This is wrong. It's 11:58. So
okay.
12
okay. So so the Mabit does walk back the idea of no intermediary, but it still leaves us with a question. How is it that we would enshrine in a halacha, in a daily thing, right? We don't do Berachas Kohanim daily for very strange reasons. We should be doing Berachas Kohanim daily. The fact that we don't... Yeah. The fact that Ashkenazim don't outside of Eretz Yisrael... I don't find any explanation that says it really, other than this is minhag of Ashkenaz. It's just what we do. It's just weird. It's just weird. But the point is that you're enshrining this practice of appealing to the Kohanim to get a bracha from Hashem. So the Dubna Magid in source number 3 gives you a mashal to explain how Berachas Kohanim works. I think I had more in my notes than this, but nonetheless, the Dona Magid's mashal carries the idea. He says, there you go. He says, I'll read out my English translation because of the time. He says, this may be compared to someone who was angered by his son's bad habits to the point of hiding his face from him. The youth went unclothed and barefoot. It was very bitter for him. He went to the neighbor's house and asked him to intercede with his father to make clothing for him. The neighbor listens to the kid, and he goes to the father, and he pleads with him. He says, have mercy, compassion for your son. See fit to clothe him. This is, you know, it's wintertime. You're abandoning your kid. And the youth's father answered, saying to him, I plead with you that I should make clothing for my son. He says, I plead with you that I should make clothing for my son. So the other fellow stands there also, confused, not understanding what the words meant. Like, what are you talking about? The father continued saying to him, fool, you come to me to ask that I have mercy on my son? Do you instruct me regarding my son and the fruit of my womb? You think I don't have any mercy on him? The fruit of my womb expression is a little bit odd, given that it's the man. Nonetheless, go with it. It's a mashal. You have the sense to understand that I am a father. My entire desire is to benefit him with my spirit and life. It is only because of his bad ways, that I hide from him. If you want me to help the youth, to turn to him with favor and aid, why did you choose to speak with me? Rise, go to the youth, speak to him, educate him to straighten his paths and improve his deeds, and then I'll be able to help him.
That's the thing, why the Kohanim face us?
The Kohanim face us because what they're really doing is appealing to us to make ourselves worthy of Hashem's bracha. That's the way the Dubna Magid explains it.
Why would they want...
The Dubna Magid says that the way Berachas Kohanim works is that the Kohanim say, make yourself worthy so that Hashem will give you a bracha and shmirah. Make yourself worthy and Hashem will treat you with chen. Make yourself worthy and Hashem will give you shalom. It's a fascinating and beautiful idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was always wondering, what about the paragraphs following? Rabbona Shalom, about the halom halakim.